Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
241 on the podcast today, a Hawkeye legend, Drew Ott, joins the show from bumfuck Nebraska, out in the middle of nowhere. And he doesn't have cable, but he has Wi-Fi, so he was able to spend an hour with us. He's an interesting individual and a beloved Hawkeye. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 241 of the podcast, and today is guaranteed to be a barn burner, because today we have on one of my forever best friends, somebody who is one of the most unique people I've ever met in my life, and somebody who for sure loves to talk shit to me and Kluver at least as much as I like to talk shit to Kluver. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce an absolute Iowa football legend, great human being, and overall total scumbag, Drew Ott Peschel. Welcome to the podcast.
That's what I was going to call you. Thank you for that nice little pre-sucky for the rest of the conversation.
You're welcome.
Nice of you.
Oh, man. I kind of forgot that that Drew used to give me a bunch of shit. There's a long...
I know, what kind of world do we live in where a long snapper runs a podcast and everyone listens to him?
It's crazy, isn't it? It makes me ridiculous. Feel a little bit bad that Kluver's the most popular person on our podcast and he actually looked at his nuts all day for his time at Iowa.
Yeah, he's been doing CrossFit naked in his bedroom all day.
I can't. I fucking can't. I have no rebuttal. There's nothing to it.
Because it's true.
Yeah, you're right.
He just dumped smart water into his flask.
No, I drink faucet water that I would never pay for water. That's bullshit. Similar, and I know that you would never pay for water either, Drew. Because
you are, in fact, the most frugal human being I've ever met in my entire life, Drew.
Thank you very much. That's a compliment.
The first story, Kevin, unfortunately, can't be here. He has a real job, which is really bullshit of him, to be honest. The first story Kevin ever told me of you, Drew, was the summer of 2013 when he moved in with you guys for just those months leading up to the season. And he said that he just gave me the quote, "If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down."
Yeah, we got corn to water. We ain't got time to flush everything. Got to feed the world.
Got to feed the world. Why are you the way that you are, Drew? Like, what makes you so fucking unique?
That's a tough question, Kluver. I don't really know the answer to that. I wish you would have given me a list of questions you're going to ask so I could have thought all day about that.
Well, what else do you do out there on the farm? You don't do shit. I mean, you just sit in the combine and ride. You got plenty of time to think.
No, Kluver. Unlike most of Iowa people, I have cows, so that occupies all my time. So there are no days off with cows.
There's no days off. No days off. You're always grinding, huh?
Always. It's the Iowa way. It's the only way I know.
You, so in prep for this, I did some research. It says that in high school you had 626 tackles. It blows my fucking mind.
Could be true. I mean, a lot of tackling going on. A lot of snaps, a lot of plays. So played as a freshman, so I'd imagine so.
What was it like playing as a freshman at Iowa?
It's kind of kind of like playing with a bunch of adults at like a family reunion. Like they show up and just like push you down all the time because you're just a little kid. It's kind of how I was when I was a freshman, just bouncing around off of huge people.
But you got on the field. I mean, most freshmen don't get on the field.
No, I mean, I had the will to fight, but still doesn't mean I was up to snuff. You know, I was a body at that point. So just trying my best to get on the field.
Burned your red shirt like halfway through the season, right?
Yeah.
Like seven somewhere games in. There.
I think they just ran out of bodies. So
just got hurt. Just, yeah, 2012. 2012 was a rough year. What did that year kind of shape? We talk a lot about, so with the pre-Sucky, we talk a lot about you when we talk about 2015. And maybe attribute probably too much of the success that year to people like you. But in reality, obviously your class had a lot to do with that and leading that team. How much did 2012 and what you guys went through that year play a role in the 2015 season and how you guys led as a class?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a good thing. I mean, as far as my point, you know, coming in 2012, coming off from high school and my whole life, you know, I wasn't used to losing, you know, getting my dick stomped in like that. So that was something I really wasn't a big fan of. So, I mean, I think that set the tone for the rest of every off season and every workout, you know, I didn't want to get bullied like that. Just, I mean, I think that kind of set the tone.
It said, not only did you have 648,000 tackles, you also graduated with 11 people in your class.
Yeah, and I could beat them all up, Kluver. All of them.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm used to.
You're saying 1 on 11, you win?
Yeah, probably all of them, yeah.
Well, holy yeah. Shit.
Might as well give it a go.
It's Giltner, Nebraska, dude. I mean, how many other people are above 6 feet tall? I mean, you were the one guy. You were the one physically imposing human to come out of there.
Actually, in my class, there was another kid that was really big. So we had two kids that were pretty big.
Was his name Logan?
Yep, Logan. He walked on at Nebraska.
I read that you guys were buddies, and yeah, and you guys kind of like at it. So for a class of 11, you guys actually did pretty well for yourself. I don't know where the other nine are, or if anyone's done shit from those.
Question.
I would love to find the other nine from your class in high school and see what they're doing now. How was he like your buddy growing up all the way through like high school? Like,
yeah, in high school, when I moved over, I switched schools in fourth grade and then we became friends. But you know, back to that 2012 season and stuff, even in high school, I mean, came from a class of 11, but I think like our worst grade point average in our class, like was like a 3.5 in high school. So like everybody wanted to be smarter than everyone else. So like we just kept grinding and everybody wanted to be good. Like we had three kids going like full ride academic scholarships to Nebraska. I mean, that's just success is just something we kind of grew up with. And I don't know, we just always had a good thing going. So
you're saying success is the Giltner way?
It was at that time. I mean, for my class and stuff like that. I mean, you wouldn't ever call me a loser. I never wanted to lose or anything like that. So
are you back in Giltner now?
Yeah, I live like 10 miles away from Giltner right now, out on our family farm.
And you and Callie. Yeah, Callie. You and Callie run that shit?
What'd you say?
You and Callie run that shit, huh? Like just that whole area?
No, we're back to the real world. So we're just piss ants, you know, we're just small time farm in Terminal, Nebraska.
I'm so curious on how you convinced her to marry you.
Like I said, I'm a winner, Kluver. So I just, you know, if I see a task, I get it done. So
a task. You just called your wife a task.
Out kicking your coverage by a mile.
I've got many talents. Flirting.
It says in this article that you, the way that you started your relationship with Callie is actually sliding in the DMs.
Yeah.
What was the magical?
Knows me. or anything like that. I know nothing about social media or anything like that. So got Instagram to DM her because that's what everyone told me to do. Probably Drake or something, someone that has DMs and was sliding into like 300 girls a day. No chance that was
my advice.
You're probably in every girl's DM in Iowa. I'm a fullback. I play a fullback for Iowa, I guess.
Just maybe all dumb. You actually downloaded the app just to DM her?
Oh, yeah. Like, think about that. He's trying to give me shit, but he downloaded an app
for one girl
solely to do what he's talking shit to me about.
One for one, though. Really
gotta,
good.
Yeah, at it. Okay. I was gonna say, congrats, I gotta be honest. Dude. I was gotta be honest. You've got to feel really good. You're really selling me on this whole winner shit because, I mean, she's 8 years later, she's your wife.
Still here.
Fucking unbelievable.
Gonna be happier.
I'm stuck forever.
Oh dear. She's special, obviously. Is she more athletic than you?
Yeah, a lot more talented, detail oriented. That's more her task. Fundamentals, stuff like that. She's pretty basic white girl. So, I mean, I was a fundamentalist at Iowa, but she really takes it to a whole nother level. As far as jumping or running, it's pretty bad, but other than that, dynamite.
You were in the article again that I read, it says back in the summer before 2015, you claim that was the most athletic you've ever been in your life, and that you
absolutely
were, and that's when you peaked.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was on a whole nother level, snagging Cali that spring ball dominated, fall ball dominated, came into the season hot, and then just, nuked my own body. So whatever.
Yeah. Did you get injured a bunch as a kid? Because then when 2015 hit, it seems like you couldn't catch a fucking break.
No, I think I saved it all for that.
That was literally the worst time to save it all up for, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. I'm just glad like I didn't get like pancake blocked and then like break my leg or something embarrassing like that.
Listen, dude, wow. The pancake block was you started off with false information.
Start blown up block.
Wow. That also,
there's a guy running around Nebraska right now talking about how he snapped your leg in half. Literally picked you up, broke your leg, and then threw you to the side and made a tackle.
There's this Iowa fullback. I fucked him up.
They're still talking about the Lincoln locker room.
Hey, I went out on my shield, though. Yeah,
he died like a warrior. Are you still – is a big staple of the Ott Peschel diet still raw eggs?
Yeah, we still eat some raw eggs every once in a while.
No, you
Why,
don't,
dude.
No,
why? Yes, why? Would we? I don't, because we're I pretend to be keto, so I eat meat all the time. Then I'll just go eat chips and have a bunch of beer. So pretty much keto minus chips and beer, potatoes. That's why I'm so fit. I can do like 1,000 burpees, Kluver.
No, you can't.
2,000.
Yeah, 2,000. It's funny because he used to shit on me for that. And so did plenty of other people, but I stuck to my guns and now I'm ripped and I can actually do 1,000 burpees before someone else dies out. So it is what it is.
Drake, how many?
I don't know if I believe you can do 1,000 burpees.
I mean, I could clearly, anyone could do 1,000 burpees. It's just the time frame that you put on it, right? Like for Drew,
that's fair.
For Drew, it would take like 2 or 3 weeks. And for me, I could probably get it done in, I don't know, an hour?
Hour?
2 hours?
Chance.
That long? Do it in an
hour. 2 hours? I don't know. I did 131 in 7 minutes like 2 weeks ago.
It's pretty good.
It's more than Drew could do.
I did that in the last month.
Yeah, Drew, but tell him about the Sharks. Remind him that we're Sharks and he's not.
Oh, true. 2015 season. Jake Gervais, you or Snyder. Drake and me, were we all the Sharks? Wait, Sharks.
Snyder.
Go like this. Snyder, true.
Yeah, you guys.
Dude, we just
that, else, that blue
we
part.
We ate weights.
Yeah, so hold on. Let me go through those four guys real quick. So 2015.
Energy,
but 2015 Wait, Sharks. ACL gone. Snyder. ACL gone twice.
Yeah.
Drake doesn't have an ankle anymore. So true. Tough to be one of those guys.
Yeah, but guess what? All three of us can still beat the shit out of you.
That's true. And you can do 1,000 burpees, Kluver. So what's that mean?
Yeah. What else? So is that pretty much it? You just eat eggs and meat on the farm?
Yeah. And beer.
And beer. Beer. Eggs, meat, and beer.
Yeah.
That's a winner's diet.
I mean, I'm like 2:30 right now, pretty ripped up. So I would take my shirt off, but I'm sitting down. So.
You are a fucking special dude. You know that? You're a former Beef Days hay bale toss champ.
Two-time, right?
Damn sure. Yeah, two-time.
Two-time.
I think. Might have been three-time.
Three-time?
Yeah, Matt Kroll brought out like a 25-pound hay bale to beat me in freshman year. Bullshit.
I'm going to have to ask him about that when we have him on. Would you say that's like one of your crowning achievements? Or
pretty much the highlight of my career at Iowa, yeah.
Yeah.
Full in Beef Days, one free ribeye. Don't tell the NCAA, but.
you were getting that NIL.
Yeah, under the table, free ribeyes for years.
Oh my god. Now I know why they didn't give you that fucking fifth year. They figured it out.
And then I was parking in the hospital parking lot. So there was a lot of bad things I was doing.
So you think it's all the little things that you were getting away with that the NCAA adds up.
Shortcuts, short careers, Kluver. You know that.
Yeah, the first person I heard that from was Connor Kornbrass. So it played out pretty quick that one. I'll never forget. It was our freshman year. It would have been your sophomore year. We were walking from the grass fields around the old Jacobson building to our complex, old complex. Mm-hmm. And there was like one of the coolers full of the boosts after practice in the way. Right. So you could either walk around it or you could like go through the rocks or like the grass to like continue walking. And I went through the grass and Kornbrass looked at me and goes, up, 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 up. Shortcuts lead to short careers, Kluve. 4 years later, I was a four-year starter and he was forgotten about.
Yeah, that's true. But no shortcuts taken. So
we got to have Kornbrass on. You and Kornbrass were like, he was like probably one of your best buddies.
I don't know about that. We lived together for a year.
He was in Miller with. Talk about you have to talk about 830 Miller on here because we've mentioned it plenty of times on the podcast, and I kind of feel like you're like the godfather.
Yeah, that's a nice scummy residence, that's for sure. I mean, it's just been passed down by so many great people. If you go dig through the walls, everyone's put memorabilia in it. So remember that when the teardown happens. A lot of good stuff.
Really?
You put shit in the walls?
Everyone has. If you live there. It started back with like, I think Yonda lived there or something.
Oh my God. That's like an Easter egg.
Yeah. Drywall filled full of goodies. Probably worth millions. And a bus doesn't know what she's sitting on.
You realize it's still... Actually, I want to say that I think my brother lives in 830 Miller right now.
Really? So it's still a football house?
It's still a football house, yeah.
Good.
It has been, it's been cleaned up and I think renovated a little bit since you've been.
That's unfortunate, really.
Brady Ross was like the leader of the renovation, dude. Yeah, if you can believe that. He probably is, to be honest. Him and his wife are probably going to get married there.
Yeah, he moved in like the last couple months living there. He's a nice little creature. A good 830 Miller resident.
He's a creature. That's a good
he's an 830 Miller creature. He's like a New York sewer rat and an 830 Miller creature. They're all about the same.
Bo sent us a video today of him in the locker room that proves that he's a creature. Absolutely and totally an animal.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
A sewer rat.
Perfect.
So you were back to the weight chart thing. You guys got obsessed with getting big and like, obviously you're eating raw eggs for protein and shit. I want to know about
when you've got to get good bicep pics to put on your Instagram to pick up your girlfriend. It's important.
I mean, we were just lifting big weight around to impress the girls because that's what girls like to hear about.
Right.
And big weight and shit like
And that. I want to hear about Don Ott and the snake pit.
The snake pit? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my uncle. So it's just a little hole in the wall weight room. You couldn't handle it. You'd burpee your head through the ceiling. It's like 5.5 foot tall ceilings.
You had to duck.
You just lift iron down there.
Couldn't even squat. You had to like.
Couldn't even squat. Half squats only, half rack squats.
So he just had like some extra weights, and that's where you first started lifting weights?
Yeah. I mean, he had just like a bench press, you know, one of those bench presses. You can lay the bench down and then you can squat out of it. You can hang clean off of it. So it's really all you need.
Right. Of course.
All you need is the right attitude, Kluver. You don't need a fancy CrossFit gym to get ripped. Jeez,
I'm aware of that. I work out in my fucking garage. On the Jesus
Christ. You gotta have the fire. You don't need to nair your legs to get ripped, Kluver.
Woo! Holy shit. This is so for those that listen to the way that Drew speaks to me on the podcast, which is a lot of people, this is basically how I lived my life for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. It was just a bunch of people.
As a specialist should live their life.
The disrespect, man.
It just, like, Kluver calls himself.
What are you talking about? The disrespect.
He had to go in on fourth down.
Huh?
Kluver says he started for 4 years, but he had to go in on fourth down. That's not the start.
Yeah, literally, his glory is everyone else's anguish, and he just revels in it. He's like, "Yeah, four and out, I get to go in."
Look,
Mom, look, Dad, it's my turn.
Trust me. Trust me.
There with your perfect body, your knees that have no problems. You don't even have a hernia, probably.
It's true.
No bulging discs.
I had zero injuries during my college career. The worst that I was injured ever was, I think, camp 1 year, tackling circuit. I got like a little bit of a stinger on my shoulder, and it hurt for like a day and a half.
It's a good thing you got to sit out the rest of the practices. Snap for 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, no, that's we had to keep the workload down. What was I just going to talk about? So I have no idea.
No idea.
You drove your moped all the way from Iowa City to Nebraska.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what was the motivation for that?
So like growing up in Nebraska, pretty much no rules. As far as if you can imagine like a big city, we come from no city. So as soon as I could drive something with a motor,
COVID doesn't exist where you live, right? COVID isn't.
No, it actually doesn't. It's actually crazy. So like you guys all have your masks on and stuff. And I'm just out here like, what's going on?
Life hasn't changed at all.
No, not really. Nebraska did put a mask rule on for like 2 weeks, like this spring. So then I couldn't go to town anymore. But other than that, it's been pretty much the same thing.
So you just sent Callie off to like grab groceries for those 2 weeks?
Yeah. So other than that, it's been pretty well avoided over here. But she, sounds like a terrible thing.
She brought back 50 ribeye steaks, like 16 cases of beer and like 600 eggs, and you guys were good?
We grow our own steaks, Kluver, so we don't have to go to town for those.
Well, that's
that
true.
Is some real man shit. Like, it is. Just gotta be able to say, God,
is the Ott farm is Ott farm meat some of the highest quality there is?
Oh, it's delicious,
dude. Can I please get a shipment, dude? Arizona beef is garbaggio.
Kulik, you can wait because this year, so in like 12 months, I'm going to have my first Wagyu beef mix.
Oh,
I'll send it to you. I know you've been a little jizzy over that Wagyu beef on Instagram.
Dude, it's the only good beef you can get down here is the stuff that's imported.
Yeah, just delicious.
Anyway.
Nice fatty substance. So if you're going keto, that's what you want.
You're not keto. You drink beer. Stop.
Yeah. Aside that point, I'm super keto.
And yeah, you're ultra keto. They should put you on the fucking front of the advertisements for it.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Actually, you said you're 230?
Yeah.
What were you when you played? Like 275?
Yeah, 275. And then like those 2 years trying to play O-line, got up to like 300 pounds.
Holy trying to play O-line?
Yeah, in the league.
Oh, afterwards. Guys. Okay.
Yeah, afterwards. You know, since I couldn't run anymore.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. I actually did not know that that's what you were trying to do. I heard that you were trying to be a tight end.
That's the route I should have went, maybe, but no, I tried.
But you couldn't run anymore.
Couldn't run. Yeah. You
know, so
if the knee was good.
So you're healing up, your knee's like, okay. Cause I read all this shit about like, you know, teams are reaching out. They're trying to get you to pass a physical, this, that, the other. And at some point you were just like, okay, well, I can't fucking run. What's a one position that I'm built for where they don't have to do a bunch of running past 3 or 4 yards? And you're like, oh, that's O-line.
Yeah, it was just logical. Where do the unathletic people go? O-line. So it just made sense.
Oh, God. The simple disrespect that you're able to give out in such a few amount of words is really it's like a talent that you have more than anybody else.
Thank you.
Drew and Theo Vaughn are very similar type of shit talkers.
Yeah. So you got up to 300 pounds in like 16, 17?
Yeah. Probably been, I think I quit trying in December of 17 or something, maybe.
How shitty did you feel?
Oh, it was rough. Just breathing. Like laying down and breathing. It's a terrible way to live a life. So.
Was Callie worried about you?
Oh, she couldn't sleep at night. Because I was snoring so loud. So. I'm sure she was worried. Every
sacrifices
minutes,
this woman makes.
Gas for my life.
Callie doesn't come from a farm, does she?
Uh-huh. She comes from a lake.
What in the fuck is she doing?
What is she doing in Giltner, Nebraska, dude?
I don't know.
Rick, you can literally see my face. You see how good looking I am. And I'm fucking...
Yeah, but that's the thing. I can see your face and I can see how good looking you're not.
What are you talking about? I'm even shaved.
Yeah, you are shaved. You're clean, dude. Where's the beard at?
I'm clean AF right now.
I liked it better with the beard.
I got to be honest. The flannel and the clean shave, it's a little bit erotic. But
I'm not going to lie. Your pecs are looking a little bit juicy right now.
I mean, I do like 100 push-ups a day. So, yeah, these bad dogs are ready to roll.
I want to go back to the drive home. You said... Growing up where you grew up, you were just all about like anything with an engine, right?
Oh, yeah. Anything with an engine. Hop on that thing. Get out of town. See, like I once had a cell phone till I was like in junior high. And my dad didn't like video games, so I never got video games. So I got a three-wheeler. So I just drove my three-wheeler all over God's green earth. And it was awesome. Then once you get that in your bones, it's kind of like people that drive motorcycles. They like the open road. Except I'm going 40 mile an hour down like a gravel road.
So you just had no issue being on a moped for 12 hours?
No, I wanted to be. So that's what I wanted.
Was there anything like
go explore Iowa? You know, I got to take Highway 6 out, go see that Red Rock Lake or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Big long one. So
where?
See a lot of different things, small towns. So.
Were there any hiccups in the journey back?
No hiccups. A cattle pot passed me and blew shit all over me. Other than that.
No way.
Yeah.
You're lying.
I promise you, right around Monroe, Iowa. Some dude just, because I was going like 40 miles an hour. Clearly, he was a super trucker. So he just blew my doors off.
Oh, my God.
That's to me. But other than that, it was pretty good.
And that wasn't your only, I didn't even know this until I read the two articles I read on you. You totaled your first moped.
Oh, yeah. Like some chick from, what's that town, right? Tifton?
Tiffin.
Right west of Iowa City. Tifton.
Yeah, Tiffin.
Yeah, Tiffin. Some high school kid was spending the night at his girlfriend's house and fucking sideswiped me on the way to weights. I met the kid.
You ended up on his windshield and your moped was totaled.
Yeah, pretty much. My shins were shattered.
And you still played that week.
Still played. Thanks to Drake's favorite thing, Hydros, Percocet.
Oopsies, had to get a little perky now.
Well, when you get dents in your shins, dude, you got to have something.
Oh, I still got them, yeah.
They're you lovely. Still have the dents.
Yeah, they never grew back together. Oh, I've got like the strongest bones ever.
Just not the not strongest ACLs.
It. Yeah, like the bones are too strong. Just
oh, just too much torque.
Yeah, way too much torque.
God, you're just a powerhouse, right?
Pretty
your
much.
Your chassis is just it's just a little bit right.
So, dude, I didn't know a couple of these things about you, and like the fact that you got hit by a car and banged down some perkies to get on the field that week. Your legend just grew infinitely.
Yeah. How do you not? Weren't you on the team then?
Dude, no, I'm sure I was, but what the fuck did I know back then?
That's true.
The story also said that you let your family and Budgeta know by just sending them a picture of you in the hospital bed.
Yeah, I felt like that was the best way I could express myself at that time. So that's what I went ahead with.
Should I call my parents and tell them I'm fine and then explain what happened, or should I just send them a picture of me in this hospital bed? Yeah, option number two.
Option number two, yeah.
Your parents probably fucking hate you.
They did hate my lack of communication for sure. So
that makes sense. Not only did you total that moped, but then you bought it back.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a go-kart out of it someday. So still haven't got around to that, but it's sitting in my shed. So still runs. It's a Zuma 125. Those fuckers are indestructible.
And 125, that thing will get up and go a little bit.
Yeah, speedster. Powerhouse.
Speaking of other let's call them projects, someone said in one of the articles, like, if you would like buy a new car if you made it the NFL or something, and you were like, no, I don't want to spend money on that, I want to get into, I think it was your dad's 1957 Chevy Apache, and put a diesel engine in it.
I'm doing something like that right now, except I'm 1977 Chevy four-door pickup putting a diesel in it right now. So not quite what I talked about earlier, but yeah, still haven't changed.
How many undone projects are sitting around the farm right now?
Oh, jiminies.
Endless?
70. Yeah.
Enough.
I got a three-wheeler started today, so check one off the list. I learned that a lot of them.
Drake, I don't know. Like, this guy is you're the most interesting human, I think.
He's always been a unique cat.
That's living out in the middle of nowhere and like no one gets to see it, dude.
Nope.
Except for the fact that you and Callie now have a farm TikTok page.
That's true. I'm trying to spread the knowledge right there, Clover.
Let's get a couple of those, Daddy-O. I'll wear that on the podcast.
Honestly, we'll sell
them.
We'll fucking wear Ott Farms on this podcast. We'll just make you guys the title sponsor. God, I just can't get over how you didn't have, like, you were indestructible, basically little Tommy Rocket as a kid. And then all of a sudden your whole body said, nope, fuck you.
Yeah. I think falling in love did it to me. I think it broke.
Oh, you got soft.
I think I got soft. Yeah. Thanks, Callie. Thanks for nothing.
So Callie's the reason. Did Callie have any injuries during her career?
She can't move fast enough to get hurt.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
That is insane disrespect.
Unbelievable disrespect on the podcast. That is incredible. Oh, my gosh.
He called her slow and couldn't jump earlier. Then he said she's good for nothing. Then he said she can't move fast enough to get hurt. This guy is on a roll
and
for
she's
getting sent to the couch tonight, dude.
Yeah, and she's he's sleeping right there where he's sitting right now.
No chance.
Sleeping in the barn. You're a lot of people hung on the fact that you were going to get a fifth year. Like that was the plan. I think that was my plan, honestly. for a long while, I was like, well, fuck, we're going to have Drew back. Like, defensive line, he's going to anchor the defensive line this year in 2016. And then, like, you can provide more light on it, but like, if it felt like there was just no communication for a long time, and then all of a sudden, nope, Drew doesn't get a fifth year. So was there more to that, or like, what was that process like?
Not really. I mean, it was a lot of being in the dark, and obviously being a little Midwest guy. I mean, I guess kind of naive to the powers and very hopeful. So I was kind of in the same boat as you, wasn't too worried about it. I mean, really had no reason not to give me a fifth year.
So you went through that thinking you had it locked up, like it was just formality.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, KF, he's a good businessman. He knows how to swing it around, get shit done. So I don't
know.
Yeah,
dude.
And all faith in KF. So like, I didn't think we were going to have any problems.
And the fact that like the numbers were on your side too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Everything made sense. Now they give everyone a transfer portal or another year or so.
Yeah, kids nowadays get like 8 years, and Drew got like 3 total.
Yeah.
Because you played 5 games your freshman year, and then you played 5 games your senior year?
Like two games my senior year, because I freaking snapped my arm in half on that Iowa State game right away.
That's true.
I played like, I don't even know what it was, like 40 snaps my senior year or something, like 50 snaps. It was terrible. And then that freshman year, I played like 50 snaps too. Oh, so, I mean, it was pretty low. It was like I was a long snapper.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least I went into the games expecting to only get 8 plays a game, you know?
That's true.
To be honest, Drew, how much can we talk shit about him? Because he got the education paid for on the back half of it. He got all the free meals. He got a lot of free shit. And he feels great. So, like, at the end of the day, who's laughing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, definitely, because we're broken units.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I hang my hat on that one big time. Like, you know, give it, you know, every 5-10 years, everybody that we played with is going to have something new that hurts on their body, you know. Added to the list. And for me, as long as I don't break my neck doing handstand pushups or, you know, like snap my shoulder in half doing muscle ups, I probably should be good and much better than most of y'all. And I don't mean to bring it up in a negative way, but like, did you think about that senior season a lot and like what could have been, or like mentally, do you just like roll with it? And you're like, all right, cool. It's just whatever's next. Because for me, I would have been hung up on that. Like, I don't know how I would have mentally handled that. And it seemed like I don't know. Like, I have to imagine there were some dark days in there. Like, fuck, this sucks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, going from the Iowa spotlight to back to Trumbull, Nebraska, and not knowing what to do. So, I mean, the best thing the farm provided for me was a lot of work to do. So, kept busy doing work, got my CDL, drove all over the country. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely sucked, though, for sure. Developed a nice little drinking problem, so whatever.
All right, man. Everybody develops a habit to get over their dark days. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Callie's probably sitting over there like, you fucking asshole. Like, stop it. You mentioned that you had a ban on TV back in Iowa City. What was that all about? In like the basement of the house or something like that. There's no TV in Miller or something like
that. I don't know if it was really a ban, but I mean, I definitely didn't want to pay for cable. So I wasn't going to pay for TV to watch someone else live a life when I had my own life to live. So I don't need to watch someone's documentary, their own life, or football. I mean, we were playing football and having a great time. I needed to watch it. So,
I mean, just truly one of the most simple.
We got our own stuff going on. It's probably back to my dad never let me have video games, so I had to make my own entertainment, did other shit.
So when you guys went home, you and Budge just literally sat around and just beat the shit out of each other, wrestled at night, or like
We tried to rebuild a thriller one time, so we had that project for like an entire summer where we'd tinker on that. We'd go to the casino. We'd gamble.
Oh, yeah. Drake's a fan of that.
We're usually just, like, dead-ass tired and eating, trying to make weight. So, we're pretty busy with that.
you have any good stories about that?
Eating?
About making weight or having to chug or anything like that?
Not really. Always took care of my shit.
Not so. Like
always on weight.
A couple of our teammates got some just tragic days that they had to go through for that stuff.
Oh, Drew's on the.
I mean, I made Miguel chug like 5 Gatorades once. So
this was on my list. I wanted to talk about Miguel crying.
Yeah. I was a ruthless team captain leader. So, I
mean, so yes.
Drew was big on the no slapdicks thing, man. He was the anti-slapdick king.
I mean, Hawk Team 6, we won like 3 years in a row. That's our little individual group of 10 for those people that don't know. So, I mean, we ran a pretty tight ship. We weren't messing around.
And I started – like, I'm starting to see why it was so easy for you to be so detailed for football, and it was because you truly – did not care about anything else, huh? Like you were, you were all in, and it was very easy for you to just make those decisions because there was no TV. You didn't give a shit about other people. You get hit on a moped. Fuck it. I got to get to practice. Like it doesn't matter. Like you literally were just eyes forward. Everything I do is just to live this football life.
Oh yeah. In the essence, you know, that was all I cared about, you know, at the end of the day. Was playing football, so, you know, been trying to do that for 8 years or 4 years before that. So I wasn't going to mess it up the 4 years of college. So yeah, I had no problem staying on Friday, Saturday nights, not having fun. So it was awesome. It was good structure.
Wow. You were, so for those listening, off season in Iowa City, the team does a, what's called Hawkeye Challenge. At one point it was renamed Hawkeye Championship. I don't know what they call it now. And essentially they pick leaders on the team who are, you know, they kind of have their shit together. Drew being one of those, in the 2014, after the 2014 season, after the Hawks.
I was a captain 3 years.
You were a captain for that 3 years in a row.
Yeah. I was a captain. I picked Jake Rudock for my second in command. I think my sophomore year, I don't even know if they gave him his own team.
So that's an
holy
interesting
smokes.
That's
dude.
An interesting decision on your part.
Okay, maybe he was the team captain and he picked me, but I clearly took over the team.
Do you still have his all-in poker chip that he gave us the one time?
No, I do not. We did not get along. We're not of the same cut.
Yeah, he was – we call him a Michigan man. He's more of a Michigan man, you know?
I'm more like him, so for sure.
You had Miguel on your team that freshman year, and I believe he missed weight one time. Whatever it was about you as a leader and a captain of that team, it instilled what is maybe the greatest form of leadership in the fact that, and I'll never forget this quote, I think good teammates are reliable. They are someone you can count on. But great teammates actually elevate the level at which other teammates perform. And you were one of those people. Because you were just so bought in, it was just literally your life. And you just, for you, there was no other, for you, it probably seemed like a lot of our teammates, like the other shit that they were doing outside of football was like, you were probably confused at why they were spending energy in other places.
Oh yeah. Totally drove me nuts.
Yeah. And
totally acceptable on my regime.
And so for your off season team, like you guys were the epitome of the slight edge and doing every single thing right. And Miguel, I think miss weight 1 week?
Probably something simple. Great kid.
And he felt that from you, that sort of leadership so hard and was so disappointed to let you down that he literally was like in tears that week. And that was like it was a little bit funny and also a little bit sad and very Miguel. But it was also like the first time I was like, holy shit, that is a
Drew Ott has mind control over these young kids.
It's the kind of power that a teammate has over somebody else when they expect so much and Miguel respected you enough to like actually feel, because some guys, they miss weight. They'll be like, fuck you, dude. I don't care. You know?
Yeah.
For sure. But Miguel, like he was emotional about it. And you guys ended up winning that year by a lot. I don't know. It was just interesting. You, Marshall, Blythe, a lot of those guys in that, I mean, you can talk about them too, but you guys, I don't know if everything just came together perfectly and that year kind of came together perfectly. We read the book, The Slight Edge. And at one point I know I read an article from some dumbass reporter about how a book led us to 12-0, but it was like sort of true in a sense. I don't know. What did you take away from that year just in general?
I guess everyone was just on the same page. It was finally clicking. Had a group of people that all got along. There wasn't like a Michigan man on the team. You know, it was like we're all kind of blue collar in a sense that we like to work and, you know, improve ourselves. So everyone was focused on themselves and wanted to do the best. And in turn, that made everyone else better. You know,
I think for me, what I felt in that year, which would have been our third year, like the first 2 years, and you're probably going to feel it more when you're a younger guy, but it felt like the older guys sort of, not that they shunned or didn't let the young guys into their conversations or like hang out with them, but it felt like we were closer as a team in 2015 than say 2014. I don't really remember like interacting a lot or being in on conversations with like Ray Hamilton or CJ Fedorowicz, right? But when you were a senior, you talked to guys like Miguel. Like there was tons of conversations and meals shared and between guys who were brand new freshmen and guys who were, you know, about to play their last season. I thought that really had I felt like that made a big difference. I thought we were closer as a team off the field. I don't know.
Everybody knew each other somewhat, you know. Yeah. You got to know everyone. That way you can call people out if they're not behaving correctly. So
it is easier to call someone out if you've got a little bit more, you know, if you know a little bit more about them. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. Fuck. One last thing. It said that you like to draw and paint.
Yeah. I'm a decent artist. Like if I'm drawing something in like the dirt of someone's windshield on the back of their car. I mean, I can draw, but
okay. How about all those dicks you drew in your binder back in middle school?
I mean, that's something I would do and put on the back of your window. So
unreal. Is this like the only time that you guys ever have off? Like this is, you know, Friday evening, time for a beer and like a couple hours of, do you watch, do you have TV now? Like do you,
no cable.
Oh God.
Still no TV.
Callie hates you.
She's learning.
So she just sits on her phone. I feel.
Yeah.
Callie might have to have her own podcast. We can just talk shit. So it's,
you should have her on. She can really exploit me.
Oh, we would love that. Yeah. No,
all
we
my
would
tendencies.
Yeah. No,
he's a huge pussy.
Okay. She's grounded.
Yes. I love it. That's how we end the podcast is the woman comes in, lets us know that he's soft. He's actually not as tough as he portrays himself to be. And
did you a farewell?
I think that when you guys have children, farmhands, I assume those are coming at some point because you're going to need, I mean, your body's breaking down quickly.
Seriously,
so
yeah.
You're going to need some people to help work on the farm. Your kids are going to be absolutely maybe the most interesting people on earth. And it's going to be amazing.
Hopefully they're little robots, little like Terminator robots, and they just rip long snappers' heads off and stuff like that.
Wow.
Just absolutely.
I love you, dude. I love you.
Unbelievable. Drake's got to fucking show his house and I have to.
Can we show a clip of Drake's face?
He could probably turn it on for a second. There he is.
Oh, God. Get out of the shadow. Show everyone what you really look like.
Look how grimy he is, dude.
This is grimy as the last day I saw him. Ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Dude, nothing will ever change with me, man. I was garbage from the day I was born.
Fun.
Muscatine's proudest.
Absolutely unbelievable. Well, the cows are probably, they probably are miss you right now. They need something. And
go check them for sure.
Yeah. And there's more beer and meat and eggs to eat. So hopefully everybody
come
enjoyed.
See me sometime soon, dude. I miss you like crazy.
He ain't fucking leaving the farm, dude.
The winter. I'm trying to get out in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Drew Ott, everybody. Hopefully, if the Wi-Fi is good, you know, maybe we'll catch him for a round two at some point. But hopefully you guys enjoyed episode 241. Hawkeye football is in 23 days, and it's exciting as fuck. So it's coming. That's it. Checking out. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.